The high portion of today's episode is sponsored by Tahoe OG.
It's getting heavy in this Chevy.
George. Welcome to High and Inside, the baseball podcast hosted by me, a cannabis chemist.
And me, your husband, who works from home. And we're talking about the grand old game.
The base of balls.
Has anyone ever called it the grand old game?
I don't think so. I think they reserve that for the Opry.
Ah. Fair. What exciting things happened in the league this week, Mark?
Who are you going to ask that question to?
To Mark.
He's never called me that.
Yeah. It's a new pet nickname I'm working on. Hey, Mark. Would you come? What could you say in that hypothetical that wouldn't sound weird? Because it was going to be like, hey, Merp, and then a demand of something. And that's not how I want to present myself.
Oh, I see. Yes.
So that's why I
stopped. Can you get me a glass of water? Yeah. The most common is, can you touch my back? Well, I was going to say, can you get me a glass of water is probably the most common thing you request.
Yeah, the most innocuous general thing you get.
Right.
The point
I was
across.
Just trying to think of the most, like, you know, least threatening things.
I think what you have to do is you have to turn it, and instead of demanding something, I'm asking you if you want something. Like,
yes.
Hey, Marp, could I get you anything? Could I get you a cup of coffee?
Ooh, you even catered it to my tastes.
Yeah. Because for me, that's really nice because I hate coffee. So
even
for
the
me
smell
to,
of it.
Yeah, I don't even know how to make it. I don't even know what it looks like.
I think one of the most exciting things in baseball right now is that the A's, the Oakland Athletics, mm-hmm. won 10 games in a row.
I just saw a documentary about them on Netflix.
Oh, yeah? I watched that, too. Yeah. Is it the Bash Brothers experience?
Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah, you guys should check it out. very factual, too. You learn a lot about the Oakland A's. So this team was kind of sneaky great last year. They got to the wild card game, if I'm not mistaken, and didn't progress too much further into the playoffs, but everyone was excited about them. And then this year, they came out super slow, and I literally, one day last week, was like, man, the A's, like, never showed up this season. They were fourth in their division in a not super strong mm-hmm. AL West, and then they won 10 in a row, and
that'll
now they're second behind the Astros. And they won five of those games without Chris Davis with a K, who is like their...
And an H.
A K and an H. Well, yeah, true. But I think of like if Chris with a C,
right.
I wouldn't normally like batch the H with that. But you're right.
Yeah.
It is
I just
K-H.
Think it's fun.
So I want to point it out. It is fun. And I thought it was fun. They won half of those games without him because he's very, very good. He's a big power bat in their lineup. And... technically, I should say one of those games is suspended, but they are leading right now, and they'll finish it in September. How ridiculous is
that?
That's
a stupid thing that should never happen.
I'm mad about it.
That is, I really think that in my, my first real year of watching baseball, that you're just constantly, it's almost like we know who the teams are. And we're just waiting for them to be that team because there's a long enough time for them to be it.
Yeah.
And just with the A's, it was like, they shouldn't be this bad. Give it time. Yep, they won 10
in a row. Yeah, you're not wrong. It's most teams have kind of settled into seemingly where they were going to be, with the possible major exception of who the Braves are playing right now in the Washington Nationals.
Yeah.
A lot of people are calling them the most disappointing team this year. I'm not kidding.
And how do they feel about that?
They feel like they wanted to put up 14 runs on us is how they felt.
What else is going on?
The All-Star Game voting has started.
Ooh.
Yes. So this year they're doing it slightly differently. And they're having a long...
The person with the least amount of the popular vote somehow gets to win the All-Star Game?
No, they did that in 2016 as well. And like, they are opening the voting for like 28 days and you just pound as many votes into whoever you want as possible and the field is open. And then for, I think they said like 48 hours, they will have everything down to a final three. And for the outfielders, they'll have a final nine because the top three will be chosen.
And then you vote out of those?
Correct.
Oh, interesting.
Right.
So it's like they're doing a little like stack the deck primary system.
Runoffs. Yeah. I kind of like it. I don't really hate it because I think it's interesting to see how it will affect the numbers when like non-fans are probably voting for who they want out of that group versus like just all the Cubs fans voting for Anthony Rizzo or whatever.
Here are my quick thoughts on All-Star games. In the sports that I do follow regularly and love, football and hockey, I have never had anything more than complete apathy to an All-Star game. Some people like hate them because they say they don't like, I don't even care to hate them. I don't think about them.
I feel like the baseball All-Star game is like the only one anyone talks about. Like the Pro Bowl? Who watches the Pro Bowl?
I think we'll have to debate the merits of it come All-Star time.
Sure. I don't mind. And here's the other thing I'll say is like they were talking about the Braves announced today that they're getting the All-Star game in 2021. Mm-hmm. So they've been talking about the All-Star game like all day today. And one of the guys in the booth was like, hey, are you glad that they made it so that it doesn't determine home field advantage? And to a person, everyone was like, yeah.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
My other thought about the All-Star game is, do you think anyone fills out a ballot that is genuine and like unbiased and accurate? Like, could you do it like a March Madness tournament and see for someone to like get the All-Stars right?
That is fun. If they did like, that is really
maybe
fun.
Maybe we should do it.
A contest.
Yeah.
Huh.
We'll have to do
it. I like that. I try to vote unbiasedly, but I'm going to put all my faves in, even if they don't.
And you're
going to
do the thing where you're going to be like, well, he's still been really good if you watched all the games.
Right.
And like,
obviously, you're biased towards the games you watch the most. One of the biggest matchups they're already predicting is going to be Freddie Freeman and Josh Bell.
Yeah, Bell should win.
I think
what
so,
else
too.
Is going on in the league?
Not arguing. I would turn that back to you. Does that feed into anything that you're feeling about the league right now?
Well, last week I said I wanted to try to pay attention to the league as a whole more. Mm-hmm. I failed and didn't do that at all. So I had this thought about the league, which I want to throw by you. As I've been, again, passively watching the sport and finding the right level of engagement with it, I've noticed something that I like about the sport in that there's a casualness to it and the way they like talk about the game that doesn't exist in like football or hockey. There's specifically not a lot of like weird gladiator or military parallels. When they like hype up a game.
Interesting. Like baseball, it's not as aggressive.
They don't try to use baseball as like an allegory for like Mortal Kombat or like the like.
That's a really interesting observation.
And there's a weird like less aggressiveness or non-aggressiveness to it. And I think it's partly because baseball is such a silly sport.
It's totally non-contact, and they're all wearing belts.
Yeah, and like...
they're wearing belts and button-downs. Like...
yeah, they're dressed for bedtime, not combat. Like, there's no... they don't like... like hockey,
they
literally...
they have helmets.
You put on pads, you put on armor, and you take like a long stick that's basically a sword. Like,
and slash it at people and run into them.
Slash a puck, which is like a little like dismembered head. And like they don't even, when just talking about the game, like when hyping it up, they don't even buy into that kind of, like in football, it would be like, Tom Brady's out there. He's a real field general. Look at him, like, command the troops down the field. And in this, they'd be like, Max Fried threw a good slider. Like, they don't engage with the, like, that level of poetry with
about,
it.
Yeah, that's, they just, like, they talk more factually. Yeah. They're just like, Max Fried on the mound tonight in his last three outings. Yeah. He's had quality start. Like, they would just, like...
it's kind of autistic. It's just so focused on what it is, and it's its own little world.
Man, that's so funny.
And I've kind of, like, grown to really appreciate that about it, that we don't have to hear, like, big... like timpani drums and like orchestral back, like epic battle music over like a short
timpani drums. I don't know if I could say you ain't gonna have to hear them over an old Sundress.
But like if you're putting like a highlight package together, sure, you're not gonna, it's not gonna be like dun 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 dun.
Yeah,
you know, it's gonna be like there's something just,
I'm telling
low
you, man.
Low tea about baseball.
I'm telling you, man, they wear PJs and necklaces. Yeah. Like, they are the most comfy sport athletes out there. And they literally can walk around for most of the game.
Yeah, it's a lot of standing.
I'm not saying it's not, you know, these people aren't athletes. I'm just saying it's different.
I think there's something to it, too, that there's no, like, sense of territorialness in the sport of baseball. Like, in football, two forces are trying to protect their ends and advance on the other ends.
Yeah.
There's an obvious military parallel too.
Yeah.
Even in basketball or soccer or hockey, you're pushing it down into the air. And
again, that's something where one of the more aggressive things in baseball is when it starts to get territorial. If you're trying to like block a plate, you know, and those are things they've had to try to legislate specifically.
Right. But they like share the all the space of the field. Everyone gets their turns.
Right.
It's very like it's
no one part of the field belongs
to anyone except aside from a dugout where play doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's a weird observation I had.
I've always thought it's like much less aggressive.
Yeah. I think there's a way to look at that for as a positive. Not that it would be a negative to me. I'm sure there are people who it would be a negative to. People are into some sports for that combat and mentality. But I think it's just trying to decode how baseball like wants me to enjoy it too.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more like, kick back, have a day at the park. Like it's a park. It's a park.
It's everybody loves going to baseball games.
Yeah.
Even if you've never watched a game on television, you'll still go. I won't say everybody, but most people, their opinion on baseball is, I'll go to a game. Never put one on television. Like, yeah, I would go.
Never put one on TV.
What's happening this season? Like, they've never thought to put it on.
Yeah. I don't know.
And I'm fine with that.
I like it. I'm finding an appreciation for it because of the contrast with the rest of the sports. And it feels just...
That makes a lot of sense.
It makes it feel so much more low stakes to me.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, there's so much of it that you go just like, we'll just get them again tomorrow.
You have to watch other sports. You can just let baseball wash over you.
Yeah, you can let it happen. Baseball happens to you.
Baseball is the only constant.
So why don't we just jump into our home teams? I was kind of wondering if you thought there was a bad take out there or what the worst take you've seen as a Braves fan this year about your team is.
Current softer bad takes are things like... NCRT is worthless now that we have Riley. And I think those people are just kind of short-sighted. But similarly, one of my least favorite takes from years past is that Swanson was this great thorn in our side. And I've already named him like the biggest surprise of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But my least favorite take that I've seen from Braves fans this season is that they should not have signed Josh Donaldson, former MVP Josh Donaldson, to a one-year deal for $23 million. A man who is cleaning up behind Ronald Acuña and Freddie Freeman.
What's the argument for not
because signing him? They should have used that money to get a reliever. They should have used the $23 million from only this season to get a reliever who, if we're talking about the reliever that all of Braves country wants, who may be closer than he has been ever to coming back right now because the draft is next week, so he may actually finally come to the team. Mm-hmm. Is the kind of guy who wants a 3-5 year deal. He's not going to take a freaking 1 or 2 year deal for $20 million.
Yeah,
like it's apples and oranges. Like
there's also this thing with fans where they have an unrealistic ask. They just feel like, well, we could have just signed him for that much as if the player doesn't have other things that they're deciding.
Right.
Like, a player won't take a 1 year, or maybe he doesn't want to go back to Atlanta,
exactly.
And they could have never signed him anyway.
Exactly. Like, every single report on how the Braves have approached Kimbrel says that initially he was looking for 5-year deals. That's a completely different thing than a 1-year third baseman. Those are completely different conversations. Yeah. So to like put them in the same breath is like, you just don't know what you're talking about.
I like the self-censorship there.
Yeah.
She stopped herself from saying the word fuck.
That was
yeah, I think that's I find that to be a frustrating take. I think the armchair GMing in general, especially when you get into like money allotment, is like, stop it.
Everyone in baseball, there was a freaking write up like the next day that was like, wow, the Braves just fucking won the lottery with that Donaldson deal. Like, everyone would have taken that deal.
Yeah.
Everybody.
It's 1 year.
It was a year for a former MVP to like try to bounce back. And it's just ridiculous to think that is like keeping them from signing better relief.
Right.
It's just a complete misunderstanding of the situation.
How are they looking otherwise in the standings quickly?
I think I was feeling much better about them until they dropped a 2-game series to the Nationals, who are, as I said, doing poorly. But other than that, they're looking great. Riley's still hitting like crazy, coming in the clutch. They've had a lot of success on all sides of the ball.
Great.
Yeah. Could still use some shoring up at relief and starting. But I think we're in a good spot. Eric, what do you think is the worst, hottest Pittsburgh take that
Hot
you've seen?
Pastrami take. I think the thing that's bugged me the most to see people talking about is Pittsburgh Pirates fans seem to hate their ownership, because they don't spend money is the general consensus. And I think that's pretty true. So even when the Pirates are doing well, people will still be like, well, they're not going to spend enough money and they're not going to be good enough. And
so self-defeating.
It may be true, but it also, like, I feel like, and maybe this is just because it's my first year following it, this season's been so fun.
Yeah.
That, like, what are you in this for? Are you in this for fun, or are you in this for, like, an Excel spreadsheet of wins and losses that will make you feel better when the wins are higher?
Yeah.
Like, what are you here for? And you can be, I'm not saying neither's right or wrong. I actually am. You should just be here for fun. But yeah, like it seems like you can be like, oh man, what a great start by this pitcher. And someone will be like, well, it doesn't matter because we could be spending more money on pitchers. And this guy should be the sixth pitcher in the rotation. He should be a bullpenner.
Yeah,
and
that's like, exhausting.
It's like there's been so many bright spots this year. You got Josh Bell having a record year. I think he's approaching the most extra base hits by a Pirate in 1 month ever.
Wow.
I think he tied the record. Side note, he's hit his 18th home run today.
Mm-hmm.
We have a little like fun, non-consequential pool with a friend of ours where we make predictions for the year.
Oh, that's
my
right.
Sports prediction was that no Pirate would hit more than 20 home runs.
Oh my God. I forgot about that.
And Josh Bell's hit like 12 this month.
He's gonna blow it away. That's so funny.
He's been super fun. You have a kid like Justin Reynolds coming up and just like lighting it up. A guy like Melky, who no one expected to have one of the highest averages in the National League, and he just a fun, silly dude to watch. Cole Tucker is like a fun new personality. I mean, Bell's hitting multiple home runs into the river. Like it's just been. It seems they're. With the win today, I think they're back to 500. They're 4 games out of first place within like a series. They got a big series coming up against the Brewers. So like, I don't see how anyone wouldn't be anything but like, oh, cool. This has been good so far.
I don't either.
And they've been beat up. They've had 2 outfielders. Corey Dickerson
hasn't played. I was going to bring that up.
And now they're fighting through starting pitching injuries.
Like three.
Trevor Williams is hurt and Taillon is hurt. So, like, they're doing this despite.
Yeah.
They're really patchworking it together, anchored by Bell. And it's been, like, kind of fun to watch.
Yeah. I meant to bring that up. I'm glad you did. They're really beaten up right now. And they're still playing at least 500 ball.
Yeah. Like.
And they're getting tons of runs. And
so to be so gloomy with that when it's, like, even if you know ultimately you're going to be disappointed. Like, you can still have some fun along the way.
Yeah.
Can't you? Isn't that what we're here for? Yeah. Make your day easier.
Yeah.
Is, I think, what I'm trying to say.
Right.
You know?
I think you should take your own advice.
Fair? This week, the Pirates called up Mitch Keller, highly touted pitching prospect. He was going to start his first game. Everyone was excited. He immediately gave up 4 runs and was sent back down the next day. He had a bit of a bad start. So in that spirit, we thought it would be fun to tell some stories where we ourselves got off to the wrong foot in life.
Oh, man. First things that came to mind, because I'm usually thinking about my performing life.
Sure.
You know, was that when I first auditioned for my improv group in college, which would have been like my first real foray into improv. Mm-hmm. I had like taken little summer classes before.
Did they require that you have that accent?
Sometimes. But it would have been like my first real foray into it. I had seen an mm-hmm. improv show. I was like, yes, I'm going to do this. And I felt really good about it. And I had like met and talked to a lot of people who were on the team. And I did not get cast. And the two people who did were both like, I knew both of them, and they were both on the like freshman hall that was paired with mine. Like it was like a girls' hall was paired with a boys' hall, mm-hmm. and these two dudes had both gotten it. And I was like, "Well, fuck me, I guess."
Do you think it was because you boofed it?
No, I don't. I found out later that I was told anyway that part of it was like kind of political because decision had to be unanimous and the group had like not let someone in and one person like took it out on the rest of the group by not letting me in.
Which is kind of a weird thing to say, which is essentially to say like, hey, someone here doesn't like you.
Yeah.
We're not going to tell you who.
Yeah. It was insane.
But
I was just like a freaking 18-year-old who like wanted everyone in that room to like me. So I was just like, what the F? Like, what did I do?
In the same way, Mitch Keller being sent down the next day is a little bit political, too. They probably didn't mean to keep him up. They were going to give him a spot start, and they were going to send him back down.
And he came up for, like, the second game of a doubleheader.
Yep.
Man, I am Mitch Keller.
You're Mitch Keller.
And I've gotten called back into the big leagues, baby, because I'm going to take some improv classes. What about you, Eric? What's a time when you tried and stumbled?
Let's go. I'm going to go to the point in anyone's life where they're the most confident, which is their freshman year in college.
Oh, that was mine, too.
So the first day of college, everyone gets there. Their parents help, you know, unload. Then we're kind of off. By ourselves for the first time, and everyone's kind of looking around and going like, so how do we get beer? Luckily, creepily, there was a specific frat that was just very obviously like, hey, everyone should come to a party at our frat house. Here it is. So very early on in our college career, for the first like few months, that's where we would go to drink. They basically just wanted to throw parties and get people there.
Yeah.
Eventually, because it was the easiest way to get booze, because none of us were 21 yet, because we're all freshmen. So it became part of our routine. Eventually, they tried to get me and my friends to pledge to the fraternity. And most of us, including myself, started pledging to the fraternity. And I knew in my mind, when they were like, do you want to pledge to this
fraternity. I said out loud yes, but what I meant was no. Like, and I knew, like, I said yes, and I went like, I meant to say no.
It's like Harry telling the Sorting Hat that he doesn't want to be Slytherin.
I was like, you should correct yourself right now out loud and say no. And then I found myself going like, but then can I come here and get beer? Let's just see how long I can string this along.
Oh, my God.
So my embarrassing moment, the thing that's the most embarrassing is this one little moment that, oh, it makes me feel so bad when I think about it. So part of the pledging process was you had to interview other fraternity members. And that was like one of the first things you had to do. So they're like, everyone needs to do that. And like, they need to interview like three pledge members. And we're going to check in with you guys in a week and see how far you are. Mm-hmm. And I was like, cool, I'm not doing that at all. And so the next week comes and we all go to this meeting. I don't even know why I went to the meeting. Like, yeah. I could have just stopped showing up.
Yeah.
Like, it wouldn't have mattered.
Yeah, you already didn't do what they asked you to do.
Like, I knew I was going to bail, but I was just like, let's just see how long I want to go until I bail.
Yeah, let's see how long they will give me beers at their party.
Yeah, they had us all lined up in this shitty living room of this frat apartment. It wasn't even like a frat house. It was like a duplex. It was, had some good tents. Some fine times there. Nothing bad ever happened that I was a witness to. That got dark.
I think you're being sincere.
Yeah, let's move on. But they had us all lined up, and they were like, okay, everyone tell me how many interviews you've done. And they just go down the row, and everyone's going like, I've done two, I've done one, I've done three. So I decide what I'm going to do. Here's my brilliant plan. Is I'm going to say a combination of the words one and none.
Oh my God. Like went on a true false test.
Yeah. Like
trying to make
TF?
The T look like an F.
So what I'm hoping is that they'll think to themselves, oh, I think he said one, and they'll move on.
Right.
And if they press me on
it,
can be like, no, I said none.
This so, is hilarious.
So they get to me and I go, we're none. And I think they're going to move by. I'm like, they did it. And immediately they go, what did you just say? And I went, and I said, I think, quote, none. Did you think I said one? I said none.
This is the most used story I've ever heard.
Yeah. I think shortly after that meeting, I like pulled one of the guys aside and I was like, I actually don't want to do this at all. And they're like, why? I was like, what reason will get me out of this?
Can I just walk away now?
Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's a little bit worse than giving up four runs in a baseball game.
Eric, what is the inside scoop?
The inside scoop this week is a movie that I watched on a plane. It's a movie called The Old Man and the Gun. It came out in 2018. It was directed by a guy named David Lowery. I really like the last
From
movie.
From the Salt?
From the Salt?
Yeah. Lowry's Seasoning Salt. Same guy?
I didn't know that that's what Seasoning Salt was called, so I'm assuming yes.
Okay.
He directed a movie in like 2017-ish called A Ghost Story that I loved. But Old Man the Gun stars Robert Redford as like an old bank robber. He kind of has a couple more jobs up his sleeve.
Okay, Casey, so it's not one last job, but maybe like four last
jobs. He does
jobs.
A few jobs. Okay. Casey Affleck is the hot detective on his trail, and he kind of... and Robert,
debatable.
Hot, I mean, caliente.
I knew what you meant, and I thought
and
that
Sissy
was
Spacek,
why it was a good joke.
And Sissy Spacek is like Redford's love interest. They're these two people who have like lived these lives, and they come together.
That's hot.
And but the movie, it seems like it could be dark, but it's really like fun and happy and light. And I think is positing this very like positive life outlook.
Interesting.
I think it was like. It was a well-reviewed movie, but I think it like
flew a little under the radar.
Yeah, because that's the nature of those type of movies. So
right.
I just wanted to
As
say,
as did A Ghost Story, I think.
Very true. This guy's not making Avengers movies.
Yeah.
We
love art house.
We love the art house cinema. But yeah, no, I really liked it. I've been thinking about it a lot lately.
Cool.
It was just like a fun, light, well put together movie. It's just like a good time at the theater or on your couch.
Plus, it's like who wouldn't want both of those things in that title in their house.
And Bobby Redford,
It's still hot. Oh,
yeah. It's his last starring role, and he's like old, but still like his skin looks weird. But then you're like, he's still, but it's still hot.
His skin is over a hot frame.
Yeah. I would, I don't know. Sissy Spacek didn't look bad either.
I saw him in person in 2008, and I like stopped in my tracks and stared at him.
Where were you?
New York City.
Hey, baby. Just out on the town?
Broadway.
Did you say anything to him?
No, I freaking stared agape because he was gorgeous.
I don't think I've ever seen anybody aside from you in my life that has made me stop.
Oh, you.
Yeah.
You threw in an aside from you just to like be.
Yeah, just
sweet
to cover
to
my, just to cover my
right,
bases.
Right, right, right.
And that brings it right back around to the grand old game.